भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट नंबर 41। येन स्वधर्मानि अमीभाव येन स्वधाम्नि अमीभाव राजसत्त्वतमोमय गुणनामक्रियारूपैर् विभवन्ते यथा तथम्। ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। The supreme cause of all causes, Narayan, is situated in his own abode in the spiritual world. But nevertheless, he controls the entire cosmic manifestation according to the three modes of material nature, that is Sattvaguna, Rajaguna and Tamaguna. In this way, all living entities are awarded different qualities, different names, such as Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya, different duties according to the Varnashrama institution, and different forms. Thus, Narayan is the cause of the entire cosmic manifestation. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Vedas inform us, na tasya karanam cha vidyate, na tasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, na tat samas cha bhayadikas cha drushyate, parasya shaktir vividhaya shruyate, subhaviki jnana balakriyacha. Shvetavatara Upanishad 6.8. Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is almighty, omnipotent. He has multifarious energies and therefore he is able to remain in his own abode and without endeavor supervise and manipulate the entire cosmic manifestation through the interaction of the three modes of material nature, Sattvaguna, Rajaguna and Tamaguna. These interactions create different forms, bodies, activities and changes, which all occur perfectly. Because the Lord is perfect, everything works as if he were directly supervising and taking part in it. Atheistic men, however, being covered by the three modes of material nature, cannot see Narayan to be the supreme cause behind all activities. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tribir gunamayir bhaver ebe sarvam idam jagat mohitam nabhi janati mamebhya paramam avyayam. Deluded by the three modes, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. Because unintelligent agnostics are mohita, illusioned by the three modes of material nature, they cannot understand that Narayan Krishna is the supreme cause of all activities. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो देवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो टुडे वी आर डिस्कसिंग टेक्स्ट नंबर 41 फ्रॉम Canto 6, Chapter 1. So the chapter is entitled as The History of the Life of Ajamil. The History of the Life of Ajamil. So, as as the name indicates, this is the life history of Ajamil. Ajamil was a Brahmana, and being born in a Brahmana family, he was also in a Satoguna. So he was not just born in family, but also good Brahmana, and his father trained him as a qualified Brahmana. So he came up as a qualified Brahmana, and he became elderly person. And as it was the tradition that parents would arrange for the marriage of the son at appropriate time, he was also married to a qualified girl from a Brahman family. And it is explained in future verses that everything was properly done, and he was also having children through his qualified wife, and he was properly engaged in devotional duties, that is yajan yajan patan patan dana parigraha. So as a Brahmana, he was yajan yajan performing sacrifices, accepting charity, giving charity, patan patan, giving transcendental knowledge, hearing this, reading scriptures, hearing from scriptures. So he was engaged as a qualified Brahmana, and life was going on, so to say. But nothing in material world goes on smoothly. There has to be some some bumps, or you know, the road is not always straight. Unexpectedly, some holes or some bumps come up, and then in this journey of life, people get shocks here, there, everywhere. So, in the life of Ajamil also, one day he was returning from forest, bringing some woods and other herbs for sacrifice and other religious duties. When he was coming back, he saw a low-class person, low-class Shudra, and a prostitute embracing each other, and both were drunk. So that one scene, and he saw, and their eyes were rolling, and he was singing some kind of nasty songs, and that's all. And as soon as he saw that, immediately tried to take his vision away and tried to remember what he heard from his childhood, from his father, that this is very sinful act I am seeing. It's not a proper behavior. So when he was seeing that, he tried to remember all the shlokas from different verses which he has heard up till now from his childhood, and tried to keep his mind as peaceful as possible. And this is how he came back to his house and kept the herbs and other things which he brought, and he thought, he tried the thing which, the scene which he saw, it was again and again coming in his mind. So as it was coming in his mind again and again, he was trying to forget it and try to remember shastras and all, but mind is like a monkey. It's restless, stubborn, flickering and uncontrolled. And in such a circumstance, nothing worked upon his mind. And slowly but surely, his consciousness was polluted. Slowly and surely, his consciousness was polluted by what he saw, and it was contemplating upon the same thing. So it is explained that Vedic process is like sedimentation. Sedimentation means, you know, it's a chemical engineering term. If you have dirty water, we put some alum in it. So what happened if you put alum in a water? All dirt settled down at the bottom. And then you can remove the water which is from top slowly. Visually in villages they do. But if you stir little, then all the dirt again come up. So other process is like sedimentation, where all the anarthas settle down. And the mind appears to be very pure, very clear. But little agitation and all dirt again come up. Whereas the devotional service, the process is like complete filtration. It's not sedimentation. That dirt is removed, then even if it's agitated, there is nothing to come up once it is removed. So similarly, Vedic process, it's very slow, even though it's process of purification, but it's quite slow in comparison to devotional service. So he saw that thing and all the anarthas came up. It just, the mind agitation and all the dirt come up, and all contaminated, polluted his consciousness, his mind. He couldn't understand anything in his life. Only thing which he could do was simply remember the one sin he saw in his life. It is explained that just like anything positive we have to do, it's very difficult to do. Just like if you want to grow a plant, it's very difficult to grow the plant. You have to keep watering, and during summer some shade has to put, because small plants, very scorching sun, it will dry up. You have to put water, you have to protect it from goats and other animals. They may eat the leaves. So you have to protect, keep offering fertilizer. And after so much protection also, they may die because of some disease, you have to spray something. But if you want to cut a tree, it doesn't take that much time. So many years it takes to, you know, grow a proper plant, some proper forest. So much protection goes, 20, 30, 40 years. And some forest fire and everything is burned down. So destructive activity can be done very easily. But to do something constructive, it takes lot of efforts, and we have to put efforts for years and years. So similarly, to become Krishna conscious, it's lot of efforts we have to put. But to forget Krishna, it doesn't take any effort. It's like natural thing for us. In a conditioned state, it's our second nature to forget Krishna. But if you want to remember Krishna so much, you know, like efforts we'll have to do. So similarly, if you speak to someone very nicely for years, he may get some good impression, oh, this person is good. But one hurting word if we use against someone, he remember for lifetime that this person insulted me or hurt me, spoke like that. So one destructive word or in tamoguna word, person doesn't forget. And to give positive impression, we have to speak sweetly years and years and years. So this is the nature. So this shows that how dangerous this world is. This person is born with garbhadhan sanskar, is trained by his parent, father, qualified, that also in Satya Yuga, and he is trained and he grew up. Other samskaras were performed properly, he was chanting Vedic mantra. Still one his sin he saw, and he was completely agitated, completely became wild and crazy, and then he fell down. He brought down that prostitute as a maid servant in his house, and to keep in his house, brought as a maid servant, and then started producing so many children. And to maintain her, he sold out all his father's property when all the property was finished, what to do? We have to maintain somebody, wife and children. So he started stealing, robbing, murdering people, and then maintaining through such sinful activity. And this is how, from a completely pure-hearted Brahmana, nicely living, he became a completely degraded person. Like, people couldn't even, even now, people, those devotees are hearing, they find it difficult how it can happen so fast. Now also we find it difficult. But it happened with him that something unbelievable, if he degraded to such an extent that, to an unbelievable extent. And he was engaging in more and more sinful activity and degrading more and more. But somehow or other, to his good fortune, the last son, his name was Narayan, and he was about to die, and he saw terribly horrible looking beings. And when he saw them, he somehow suddenly shouted the name of his son. It is explained that whatever is in our mind, if our mind is absorbed in something, we will remember that thing at the time of death or when you are extremely afraid. So this person, because he was constantly thinking about his last son, youngest son, Narayan, his mind was so much absorbed in him, he was calling the name of Narayan, Narayan. But it happens to be name of Lord Vishnu also. So because of that, Vishnu Duta came, and then conversation between Vishnu Duta and Yamaduta was going on. And this shloka which comes, which is in between this conversation between Yamaduta and Vishnu Duta. And later he was saved simply because he chanted the name of Narayan. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained that in Narayan there are four syllables. Narayana. So that's why four Vishnu Duta came. So they came and they saved him. And when he realized, after he saw their conversation, he was saved. He realized that what he was doing was completely wrong, as if some intoxicated person. Sometimes they babble a lot, and police people bring them home, not home, the police station. And when they are beaten, they come to their senses, and then they realize what they are doing. So this was like kind of a shock for Ajamil, that, and then he came to senses what he is doing. It's completely abnormal thing he is doing. And then he immediately leaves home and constantly engages himself in pure devotional service of Lord Krishna. And it is explained, by completely engaging in devotional service of Lord, he was rescued and he goes back to spiritual world. So here, this is the life history of Ajamil. And this life history may give hope to, it gives, certainly gives hope to all the peoples of Kali Yuga. Because if we see this kind of thing, people very much can relate with the life of Ajamil. Drinking, and he saw one scene, and we go, and every billboard, everywhere it's the same thing. In colleges, the same thing is there. So in that yuga, it was a very rare thing which occurred in a forest somewhere. But it's going on everywhere. So how much dangerous situation we are in. In TV what is shown, or movie what is shown, the same thing, drinking, eyes rolling, then embracing, singing, the same thing, which he saw only once, and because of one thing he got degraded so much. And people get to see this constantly. So that's why it's very, very dangerous age. What he saw once, we get to see everywhere and every now and then. So that's why our situation is in we are in very bad situation, very dangerous situation. So how much cautious we need to be. If we compare our life with Ajamil, he was born with samskaras. He was brought in Brahminical culture. What culture we are brought in? At least those who are little elder, they may have been brought up with some rules and regulations from Vedic life. But the new generation which is coming up, they hardly have any kind of training. Nobody has time to train them. And even in schools, colleges, instead of positive training, rather than training them to control their senses, what they are taught is sense gratification, unrestricted sense gratification. Exactly opposite of what Vedic life teaches. So when such a person grows up, there is no guarantee, there is no question of his taking to spiritual life or even living by religious life of rules and regulation. It's very dangerous. How can he automatically take it? Prabhupada in his morning walk conversation, he was saying that education means character building, creating the character of a person, sense control, living with honesty, tolerance, mercifulness. These are the character of a person he should come up with. But instead of teaching these qualities, in modern life he is taught something which he can hardly use. Like he is taught double integration, triple integration, which is of no use in his life. Hardly anybody can use it in his day-to-day life. But in previous time, what was taught to a child, he could use it in day-to-day life. Just like always being truthful, always being kind to others, non-violence, living sinless life. People were taught what a sin is. People now don't know what sinful things are, and they say, I never committed any sin. I never did anything bad. He drink, he eat meat, he gamble, he do all kind of nasty things, he cheat people. I still claim that I have seen such people, that's why I am quoting here. He said, I never committed any sin. And I also accepted it because I was not knowing what sin is. So that time I said, yes, yes, you are a very good person. But now after reading even these four regulative principles, eating meat, intoxication, meat eating, gambling, illicit relationships, these are sinful activity, even that much we are not knowing. We came to know only after coming to Krishna consciousness. So even the basic things people do not know. So where is the question of following it? So children were taught what sinful activity is, Dharma Shastra and different samhitas, Manu Samhita and all that. They are taught with what exactly sinful thing is and how one should live, how one should avoid, how to eat, what not to eat. Everything is taught, cleanliness. He is taught cleanliness, he is taught how to eat, what to eat, regulated life. He is taught about how to deal with other different members of society, different according to their varnas and ashramas. They are taught not to be excessively attached with material life, and also their aim should not be just enjoying in this life, but his aim should be higher, that is either going to higher planetary system or going to spiritual world. In Vedic life they teach higher planetary system, higher destination. And if they come to Krishna consciousness, he is taught to returning back to kingdom of God, spiritual world. So he is taught such thing, how to live harmless life, character building. And because of all these things, the person and the entire society is living like that. That's why he get a lot of encouragement. In fact, someone behaves badly, there is a lot of pressure that, you know, what these people will say. In villages, that social pressure is there. That if I do, what other people will say, what our relatives will say. We'll lose our name. But now nobody cares for their name. So that pressure is gone. So people don't hesitate to do bad things. But when that social pressure was there, the entire society is like that, so one would definitely hesitate to do stealing or lying or cheating. But now if everybody is doing like that, then he get encouraged to become from bad to worst. He doesn't get encouraged to become a good person, good human being. So this is how the person would be taught all these values and qualities in his life, how to live a life keeping Krishna in center, and then go for higher destination, not become a slave of life, a slave of senses and anarthas. If we see our life, day-to-day life, it is nothing but serving senses and anarthas. Dictations of envy, hatred, lust, greed, anger. These emotions dictates, and we are serving this as a slave. Slave of uncontrolled mind and senses. And spend our entire life serving them instead of serving Lord Shri Krishna. So this is how the present life is. And in comparison to Ajamil, our life is very bad, and the society, the situation we are living in is also extremely bad. It's not at all conducive for spiritual advancement. It's conducive for degradation. In fact, simply if someone lives in this society, he will go to hell. Simply he lives. Unless he comes to Krishna consciousness. Just like few days before, a report came that about food dyes. What they use to make this food dye. So they found out that, especially in America, what they use as a pink color, strawberry color, that dye is collected from Argentina. And how it is manufactured? In Argentina, there is some kind of forest place where a lot of cactus are there, red colored cactus. And there are certain insects which eat these flowers and some small berries which are coming upon these cactus. And the fruits and flowers are also red in color. And the whole tree is like reddish in color. And these companies, they collect these insects and crush them to powder and then make a red natural dye. It's natural because it's not created in any chemical factory. And then they put it as a strawberry flavored ice cream or any kind of thing. And it's nothing but powdered insect, because the color dyes which is going, it's accumulated in the stomach of these insects. And they make it powder and like that. And if someone drinks the milk, it's written that vitamin D enriched. So milk is explained in Ayurveda, it's a complete food. There is nothing, we don't need to add something to enrich it. But they add cod liver oil. So to do that, they have to kill a cod and then remove its liver and it's crush it, and then oil, and that is put into the milk. And all kind of different carcinogenic chemicals are injected to the cows to extract maximum milk. And this kind of and many fertilizers which are now, they are saying, grown with natural fertilizers. So what they do to put these natural fertilizers? From the slaughterhouses, they bring bones of the animals and make powder and all the blood, and they use as a fertilizer to the plant. And she said that it's natural fertilizer we are using, so this produce is organic. They are not using cow dung or anything, and like that. And upon grapes, there is one chemical which is, one has to spray it if one wants to save the grape. And it is made from the cow blood, from waste. It's not produced in India. They import it, and those who are having agriculture experience of grape farming, they know that they have to spray this chemical, and it is manufactured from cow blood. Some one component of cow blood has to be used. So we may think that we are sinless. We are simply eat grapes on Ekadashi. and we are eating cow blood. So this is how civilization is. We may be bringing some oil from market, and they may be using some even animal fat can be, if it's heated, it becomes like oil. Many years before it was caught, that dalda and all such oil was made from actually the fat of animals as a cheap source. So this is how even in India this is happening. One of our devotees, he told, when he went to Punjab for book distribution, he told, whatever happened, don't eat anywhere. Because I have seen with my eyes that people who sell cheap chola bhatura, they bring this fat and heat it and becomes oil. And on street people eating it, and they think we are vegetarians. So this is how to what extent this Kali has polluted the entire atmosphere, we do not know. When we come to know, we get the shock of life. So it's a completely polluted atmosphere, completely sinful atmosphere. If we simply live here, simply survive here, then we'll definitely go to hell. Simply living here, especially in Kali Yuga. One cannot say that I can live here also and be sinless also and enjoy life also. In Kali Yuga, that facility of remaining pious and enjoying life is not there. Either become devotee of Lord or become sinful and go to hell. It's as clear as that. Very simple, very clear. So that's why it is explained, if the disease is very strong, then the medicine has to be more potent. The medicine also has to be very potent. So that's why Lord Chaitanya has given us this process of chanting holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Most potent process to remove all our anarthas, all our sin, everything, completely purify our heart from all material desires and go back to spiritual world in one lifetime. In Vedic time, if somebody has accidentally committed some sinful activity, then the process of atonement is given for him. That if he atones, done some kind of puja, giving charity, some austerity, then he will be saved from the reaction of sin. If the sin is strong, then atonement also be strong. If sinful activity is mild, then the atonement also will be mild in nature. But the problem is, one will not get the reaction of his sin if he atones. But what about the inclination which is formed in his heart? That is called kutam. That is inclination to perform the sin again. And either in the same lifetime or next lifetime, will again be inclined to do the same activity again and again. So through the process of atonement, the inclination will never go away. It's only through the pure devotional service to Lord Krishna that inclination will go. And once the inclination is uprooted from the heart, then the person is in safe condition. Even we see now, if some person first time is stealing, he is very much shy, he looks 10 times here there. Especially as a small children, we had that experience. If something stealing, then he is afraid, constantly thinking 10 times. But if he is caught and beaten, and then next time he is less fearful. Then next time he is less fearful. And next time he is like, it's become a way of life for him to do this thing, get caught, and again do the same thing again and again. So this inclination, because of that is inclination, the person is like a helpless condition. It's the things are pulling him to commit activity, and he is helplessly engaging in sinful activity again and again and again. And ultimately, he has to glide down to lower species of life. It is explained in Shastra that every jivatma, every soul, which when he comes to this material world first time, he becomes Brahma. So very fact that so many living beings are there, that means they are degraded down, down, down. Rather than utilizing that such a long life and good life to go back to spiritual world, it has been utilized to degrade. And eventually, very abominable species of life one gets into. So that's why there should not be any doubt in our mind that I can remain here, I can follow some superficial religious principle and remain sinless. One cannot remain sinless here. One will be forced to become sinful. And there are five kinds of sin which no one can avoid. That is, through inhalation, so many bacteria die when we inhale the air, or drink water, or light some fire, cooking or anything, the microorganisms die while walking. So there are certain number of bacteria in food also, some even if it's cooked, not all bacteria die at that temperature. So grains and vegetables which are cutting, there is some also sin. So no one can avoid sin completely. Only when someone takes to Krishna consciousness, then only he is protected. If he eats the prasad which is offered to Lord Krishna, then he is protected from these five sins. And engaged in devotional service of Lord Krishna, then he will be not only released from sin, but also from all sinful activity. The whole process is explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Cheto Darpana Marjanam, cleansing of the heart. Now this our devotees are going to Jagannath Puri. This one day before they will be doing Gundicha Marjanam, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compared with cleansing of the heart. When we clean the temple of Lord, that is cleaning our heart. So in short, when we are engaged in the service of Lord Shri Krishna, that time we are actually cleaning our heart from all kind of propensities and inclination. And if these propensities and inclinations are in our heart, then we are in a very dangerous situation. Even if externally we are not, we may be in a proper thing, but this impurity in our heart will force us to do something out of criminal activity. In fact, there is a certain kind of child criminals. Some small children, they are born and they are very violent in nature. They just pick up some gun and shoot their classmates. Very violent, very cruel to other animals. So when such small children with extreme criminal backgrounds are brought up, the courts send them to some kind of reformatory house where that they are investigated and trained properly. So these psychologists, they don't know how these children, they are born. Nobody taught them this kind of violence or this kind of deadly crimes. How they are doing it? They try to investigate whether in childhood nobody gave them affection or what happened exactly. Was somebody beating them too much? But actually it's the inclination which is in their heart from their previous lives. That's why when they get that facility, that overpowers their mind and they do such kind of activity which even people find it difficult how they are doing it. So because these children do extreme activities, they are noticed by other people. But in everyone's heart, this kind of propensity is there. This kind of propensity is there for exploitation and trying to enjoy this material world. And in order to enjoy it properly, the person becomes so much polluted in his consciousness that he does not hesitate to commit ghastliest possible activity. Just like someone, for example, we see we may not see extreme examples in life, but in offices, like everybody wants to have promotions or something like that. So they try to play dirtiest possible politics to pull each other. So why it's so? Because they want to enjoy this material world, and in order to enjoy they want money, and in order to get that money they don't hesitate to do this. When someone become more like that, he may go on to kill other or suspend other, his opponent. When someone go on to become more dirty like that in his consciousness, more corrupt and more blinded by this greed, then he may do anything which we may not imagine. It's very easy, killing and rampant like that. So many, if you see the history of so many rulers in recent times or few centuries before, in every royal family there had been some poisoning of someone, or taking him on some, he goes somewhere and killing him like that. This whole Maratha kingdom is famous for that kind of backstabbing and poisoning and killing. Why it is so? This, why it happened? Because people are blinded by greed and do not hesitate to commit ghastliest possible sinful activity just to satisfy their greed, just to satisfy their senses. What Ajamila was doing, he was doing on an individual level. But now we see countries doing on a big level, business houses doing on a their level, politicians doing their level. They try to kill each other. So this kind of thing is going on because once that exploitation, trying to exploit this material world and resources of material nature, one makes that as a goal of life, then one does not hesitate to to glide down to any level and engage in that kind of activity. So this is a very dangerous sign, and as a sadhaka it's explained to as an example also for all of us that we have to be very careful. Otherwise we may be thinking that about this Ajamil going through these phases and coming down, we may also fall trap to the same anarthas, and we may also get into the same exploitation, committing violence, crime against other living beings, and not hesitating to do the ghastliest possible sinful activity. So the only shelter is taking shelter of the holy name of Lord Shri Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So in glorification of holy name it is explained, because Krishna is non-different from his name, Krishna's purifying potency is unlimited. So holy name's purifying potency is unlimited. And we are jivatma, small, insignificant jivatma. So our capacity, even if we use to fullest extent to commit ghastliest possible sin, is also limited. And Krishna's purifying potency is unlimited. So when we take shelter of the holy name of Lord Shri Krishna, it can clean up so much sin which we cannot even commit, because Krishna is unlimited, his purifying potency is unlimited also. And our maximum sinful propensity, what we can use it to our 100% capacity, that is also limited. But the condition is, we cannot, it becomes a seventh offense to commit sinful activity on the strength of the holy name. If we find it's very easy shortcut, now I have found out that I will go on committing the holy name, committing sinful activity and chant holy name, then that holy name destroys us rather than elevating us. Such person is degraded. In fact, he may suffer more. So if sometime something happened from the devotees or sadhaka hand, then he should pray to Lord. He should not chant the name of Lord to free from sin. He should say that, oh, let me suffer through that reaction. And honestly pray to the Lord that, oh, let me go through that thing, rather than trying to chant and eradicate. then we may get into this seventh offense. It's one of the heaviest offense against holy name. So one has to be careful of that and engage in the chanting of the holy name of Lord. Then he'll be relieved of all his past record, and eventually Lord Krishna Chaitanya, Lord Gauranga, he will shower his mercy upon such a living being. But if he commits sin, then he will degrade faster, he will suffer more. We cannot do that. So Ajamil, when he was doing this, he was not knowing all the offenses against holy name. It is not that he was committing offense and he was also knowing the offenses against holy name, and then in the end he took shelter of like that. He was not knowing it. So he chanted the name of Lord, he was saved. In fact, Prabhupada told Haigri Prabhu that you have chanted the holy name of Lord offenselessly once in Vrindavan. That's why I will assure you that you will go back to spiritual world this lifetime. Later he somehow, unfortunately, fell down. Somehow he was not wanting to succumb to his bad habits, but he was succumbing to his bad habits and again coming back, and he was repenting like anything. But in his old age, when he left his body, in the association of devotees, and all devotees were chanting holy name. He was very much conscious, and in that situation he left this this material world. So Krishna helped him. So all our endeavors should be towards chanting the holy name of Lord offenselessly. Prabhupada told him, just once you chanted offenselessly, and that in Vrindavan, I assure you that you will go back to spiritual world this lifetime itself. So this once chanting offenselessly in Vrindavan, it helped him to go back to spiritual world. This one chanting of Narayan at the time of death, he saved him from suffering hellish consequences. So we should not take inspiration. Usually people, when they read this kind of pastime, they think that, oh, now I have got a nice shortcut, I will do a lot of bad thing and take. Rather than taking such kind of lesson, we should take that if one name can save a person, if I every name which I am chanting from my, on my rounds, if I put all my energy and try to offenselessly try to chant it, then how much faster and quicker I will attain the mercy of Lord Shri Krishna. So this is how we have to take inspiration, and then we will be saved. That Prabhupada saved, that Nityan Prabhu saved one Jagai and Madai. But he didn't shower mercy upon two people, that is Ramchandra Puri and Ramchandra Khan. Both were offenders to pure devotees of Lord. So even though he was, he didn't hesitate to deliver Jagai and Madai. He was so merciful, but still even the most merciful personality was not willing to shower his mercy upon Ramchandra Puri and Ramchandra Khan. Ramchandra Puri, he offended Madhavendra Puri. He was disciple of Madhavendra Puri, his spiritual master. And Ramchandra Khan offended Haridas Thakur, another great Vaishnava, and they didn't beg forgiveness also. So these two people were not delivered, but even Jagai Madai was delivered. So Prabhupada, Nitan Prabhu delivered one Jagai Madai, Prabhupada delivered millions of Jagai Madai. And this Ajamil Upakhyan, the story of deliverance of Jagai and Madai, it gives hope to all of us and all the living beings of Kali Yuga, that we will also definitely receive the mercy of Lord Gauranga and Nityananda. Only thing is, I don't have to commit sin. I don't have to commit sin on the strength of holy name. I don't have to offend devotees of Lord and take complete shelter of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When lion roars, all animals run away. All small, small animals run away. So when the holy name is chanted, all sin and its reaction, everything run away, just like that. Or we regularly hear this example, that when sun rises, all darkness go away. So, the whole philosophy of hearing, we hear again and again, is teaching us how to chant the holy name of Lord helplessly. This is the whole thing. The Yuga Dharma is very simple. Yuga Dharma is just chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But the whole process is teaching us how to chant, in what consciousness to chant, so that we can receive the mercy of Lord quickly and get out of this most dangerous material world and live with Lord a happy, blissful life. Hare Krishna. Some question is there sometime? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. You mentioned about offenseless chanting and committing sinful activities on the chant of the holy name, the two opposites kind of thing. So how do we understand what is meant by offenseless chanting? Because we may have been chanting for some years now. We may have chanted in kirtans, we may have chanted japa. The quality of the chanting is not good, but sometimes it is good, sometimes it is not good. So how do we understand whether at all we have ever chanted offenselessly? Because we are saying that once also is enough to purify, but...
Like, it's very easy to find out one offense, whether one of the offenses is to not chant attentively. We can very quickly recognize that I was not chanting, my mind was somewhere else, and mechanically tongue was... the holy name was going on. It's very easy to find out that one last offense. Also, seventh offense is also easy to find out. If we've done something sinful and then if you're chanting to get rid of that reaction, that is also easy. In fact, Prabhupada told about himself that for him, he told that it took 30 years for him to perfect his chanting, to come to pure chanting. So, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that once we come to offenseless chanting, then 14 years to 15 years if we chant offenselessly, then we will be able to chant purely. That is, Krishna Prem will be awakened in the heart. But before coming to the platform of offenseless chanting, how many years goes? Because if we see these 10 offenses, these are the all possible mistakes which one can make while chanting the holy name of Lord. So, these few offenses which we can, Guru Ravadnya, which we can find out that how much we are obeying it and some disobedience, something is happening. So, some we can find out. Yes, someone would like to add something to all this.
When we are hearing such pastimes, mm-hmm. and many other pastimes where there is a description of negative, and then there is a description of how the Lord's holy name or the devotee saved that situation. But because of our conditioning, even while hearing and reading these kind of pastimes, there is a tendency to get attracted to the negative parts.
Yes.
Now, how do we come out of that?
That's actually nature of mind, contaminated mind. negative very quickly stuck in the brain, but to do positive, one has to do again and again. In fact, in custom marketing, they teach their salesman that if one customer is hurt or get bad impression about us, then to remove that one bad impression, at least 13 to 14 times you have to give positive impressions that we are actually nice people, to regain the faith of the same customer. So this shows that one negative, to remove that 13, 14 times. Positive. So this is not a Shastric, but this is how this mundane psychologist and all these marketing people, they found out. So this is actually nature. So the whole solution is Kirtaniya Sadahari. This seems to be the only solution, because everywhere, every circumstances, every now and then, the whole atmosphere, internal, external, internally our mind and anarthas, externally the society. So it's like completely trapped with enemies from all sides. So Kirtaniya Sadahari is the trying to constantly chant the holy name of Lord is the solution. So we stop here. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की, श्रील प्रभुपाद की।